Today is the 30th day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. And it is wonderful to be here with you today. Today and every day, here we are at the conclusion of another of the weeks that God has given us. This stretch of history that we get to share together. So here we are. Let's huddle up again because we've done it. Remember, like, we were all huddled up just looking out over the week. And now we've managed to navigate it. How did it go? That's what we do at the end of the week. Just kind of reflect. Maybe take some moments to jot down some highs, some lows, some memories that maybe shouldn't fade, some things to recall, and start keeping track of ourselves, paying attention to ourselves, being self-aware, catching ourselves and our patterns, realizing we are way more interesting and crafty than we thought when we're just watching and observing the way and the why of how things get done around us. So, yeah. End of the week. End of the week reflections. As we prepare to begin again, a brand new week tomorrow. Let's spend some time today reflecting back, because this genuinely is how we become aware of our lives, of what's going on in our lives, and what we're doing to make all that be going on in our lives. In addition to all that, we've also come here to take the next step forward in the scriptures. And man, we got a situation happening in 2 Samuel in the life of King David, who has had to grab his government and run, like flee the capital of Jerusalem, because the prince, David's son Absalom, is attempting to overthrow the throne of his father David. And all of this has transpired, like we've been watching this, all the ways that all of the things that led to this have a point. There was a before and an after in David's life. Before, he trusted God, honored God, knew everything that he had was from God, and he stayed true. His character was evident before the people. The after is that he took another man's wife. He took one of his 30 most loyal people, Uriah the Hittite. He took his wife Bathsheba, and he had her brought to him. And he had sex with her and she got pregnant. And he tried to cover it up and the shame built. And he eventually had to have Uriah killed in battle. And then bring Bathsheba to be the wife of the king. And do this as quickly and quietly as possible. But his family, there is no respect left after this. And it's come to this point now that one of his sons, Absalom, is trying to overthrow his father's kingdom. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23 through 16, verse 23. All the land was weeping loudly as all these people were leaving. As the king was crossing over the Kidron Valley, all the people were leaving on the road that leads to the desert. Zadok and all the Levites who were with him were carrying the Ark of the Covenant of God. When they positioned the Ark of God, Abiathar offered sacrifices until all the people had finished leaving the city. Then the king said to Zadok, "Take the Ark of God back to the city. If I find favor in the Lord's sight, he will bring me back and enable me to see both it and his dwelling place again. However, if he should say, 'I do not take pleasure in you,' then he will deal with me in a way that he considers appropriate." The king said to Zadok the priest, "Are you a seer? Go back to the city in peace. Your son Ahimaaz and Abiathar's son Jonathan may go with you, and Abiathar, look, I will be waiting at the fords of the desert until word from you reaches me." So Zadok and Abiathar took the Ark of God back to Jerusalem and remained there. As David was going up the Mount of Olives, he was weeping as he went. His head was covered and his feet were bare. All the people who were with him also had their heads covered and were weeping as they went up. Now David had been told, "Ahithophel has sided with the conspirators who are with Absalom." So David prayed, "Make the advice of Ahithophel foolish, O Lord." When David reached the summit where he used to worship God, Hushai the Archite met him with his clothes torn and dirt on his head. David said to him, "If you leave with me, you will be a burden to me. But you will be able to counter the advice of Ahithophel if you go back to the city and say to Absalom, 'I will be your servant, O king. Previously I was your father's servant, and now I will be your servant. Zadok and Abiathar the priests will be there with you. Everything you hear in the king's palace, you must tell Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Furthermore, their two sons are there with them, Zadok's son Ahimaaz and Abiathar's son Jonathan. You must send them to me with any information you hear." So David's friend Hushai arrived in the city just as Absalom was entering Jerusalem. When David had gone a short way beyond the summit, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, was there to meet him. He had a couple of donkeys that were saddled, and on them were 200 loaves of bread, 100 raisin cakes, 100 baskets of summer fruit, and a container of wine. The king asked Ziba, "Why did you bring these things?" Ziba replied, "The donkeys are for the king's family to ride on. The loaves of bread and the summer fruit are for the attendants to eat. And the wine is for those who get exhausted in the desert." The king asked, "Where is your master's grandson?" Ziba replied to the king, "He remains in Jerusalem, for he said, 'Today the house of Israel will give back to me my grandfather's kingdom.'" The king said to Ziba, "Everything that was Mephibosheth's now belongs to you." Ziba replied, "I bow before you. May I find favor in your sight, my lord the king." Then King David reached Bahurim. There, a man from Saul's extended family named Shimei, son of Gera, came out, yelling curses as he approached. He threw stones at David and all of King David's servants, as well as all the people and the soldiers who were on his right and on his left. As he yelled curses, Shimei said, "Leave, leave, you man of bloodshed, you wicked man. The Lord has punished you for all the spilled blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you rule. Now the Lord has given the kingdom into the hand of your son Absalom. Disaster has overtaken you, for you are a man of bloodshed." Then Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said to the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and cut off his head." But the king said, "What do we have in common, you sons of Zeruiah? If he curses because the Lord has said to him, curse David? Who can say to him, why have you done this? Then David said to Abishai and to all his servants, my own son, my very own flesh and blood, is trying to take my life. So also now this Benjaminite. Leave him alone so that he can curse, for the Lord has spoken to him. Perhaps the Lord will notice my affliction, and this day grant me good in place of his curse. So David and his men went on their way, but Shimei kept going along the side of the hill opposite him, yelling curses as he threw stones and dirt at them. The king and all the people who were with him arrived, exhausted at their destination, where David refreshed himself. Now when Absalom and all the men of Israel arrived in Jerusalem, Ahithophel was with him. When David's friend Hushai, the Archite, came to Absalom, Hushai said to him, long live the king. Long live the king. Absalom said to Hushai, do you call this loyalty to your friend? Why didn't you go with your friend? Hushai replied to Absalom, no, I will be loyal to the one whom the Lord, these people, and all the men of Israel have chosen. Moreover, whom should I serve? Should it not be his son? Just as I served your father, so I will serve you. Then Absalom said to Ahithophel, give us your advice. What should we do? Ahithophel replied to Absalom, sleep with your father's concubines, whom he left to care for the palace. All Israel will hear that you have made yourself repulsive to your father. Then your followers will be motivated to support you. So they pitched a tent for Absalom on the roof, and Absalom slept with his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. In those days, Ahithophel's advice was considered as valuable as a prophetic revelation. Both David and Absalom highly regarded the advice of Ahithophel. John 18:25 through 19:22. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was standing in the courtyard warming himself. They said to him, you aren't one of his disciples too, are you? Peter denied it. I am not. One of the high priest's slaves, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, said, did I not see you in the orchard with him? Then Peter denied it again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Then they brought Jesus from Caiaphas to the Roman governor's residence. Now it was very early morning. They did not go into the governor's residence, so they would not be ceremonially defiled, but could eat the Passover meal. So Pilate came outside to them and said, what accusation do you bring against this man? They replied, if this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you. Pilate told them, take him yourselves and pass judgment on him according to your own law. The Jewish leaders replied, we cannot legally put anyone to death. This happened to fulfill the word Jesus had spoken when he indicated what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate went back into the governor's residence, summoned Jesus, and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus replied, are you saying this on your own initiative, or have others told you about me? Pilate answered, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own people and your own chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done? Jesus replied, my kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my servants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish authorities. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. Then Pilate said, "So, you are a king?" Jesus replied, "You say that I am a king. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked, "What is truth?" When he had said this, he went back outside to the Jewish leaders and announced, "I find no basis for an accusation against him. But it is your custom that I release one prisoner for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" Then they shouted back, "Not this man, but Barabbas." And Barabbas was a revolutionary. And Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged severely. The soldiers braided a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they clothed him in a purple robe. They came up to him again and again and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him repeatedly in the face. Again, Pilate went out and said to the Jewish leaders, "Look, I am bringing him out to you, so that you may know that I find no reason for an accusation against him." So Jesus came outside wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Look, here is the man." When the chief priests and their officers saw him, they shouted out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said, "You take him and crucify him. Certainly I find no reason for an accusation against him." The Jewish leaders replied, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard what they said, he was more afraid than ever, and he went back into the governor's residence and said to Jesus, "Where do you come from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Don't you know I have the authority to release you and to crucify you?" Jesus replied, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it was given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of greater sin." From this point on, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jewish leaders shouted out, "If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat down on the judgment seat in the place called the Stone Pavement, Gabbatha in Aramaic. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, about noon. Pilate said to the Jewish leaders, "Look, here is your king." Then they shouted out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate asked, "Shall I crucify your king?" The high priests replied, "We have no king except Caesar." Then Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and carrying his own cross, he went out to the place called the Place of the Skull, called in Aramaic Golgotha. There they crucified him, along with two others, one on each side, with Jesus in the middle. Pilate also had a notice written and fastened to the cross which read, "Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." Thus, many of the Jewish residents of Jerusalem read this notice, because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the notice was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Psalm 119, 113 through 128. Samek. I hate people with divided loyalties, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I find hope in your word. Turn away from me, you evil men, so that I can observe the commands of my God. Sustain me as you promised, so that I will live. Do not disappoint me. Support me so that I will be delivered, that I will focus on your statutes continually. You despise all who stray from your statutes, for such people are deceptive and unreliable. You remove all the wicked of the earth like slag. Therefore, I love your rules. My body trembles because I fear you. I am afraid of your judgments. Ayin. I do what is fair and right. Do not abandon me to my oppressors. Guarantee the welfare of your servant. Do not let the arrogant oppress me. My eyes grow tired as I wait for your deliverance, for your reliable promise to be fulfilled. Show your servant your loyal love. Teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me insight so that I can understand your rules. It is time for the Lord to act. They break your law. For this reason, I love your commands more than gold, even purest gold. For this reason, I carefully follow all your precepts. I hate all deceitful actions. Proverbs 16, 10, and 11. The divine verdict is in the words of the king. His pronouncements must not act treacherously against justice. Honest scales and balances are from the Lord. All the weights in the bag are his handiwork. Father, we thank you for your word. And another week of life to grow and mature and learn. We are grateful. We are grateful for this grand adventure that we call life, and we are grateful for your guidance as we navigate it. So as we bring a week to a close, we release it to you. We release it to history. We can only go forward. And so, Holy Spirit, come, plant what we have learned, not only from the scriptures, but from the wisdom of experience throughout this week. Plant wisdom and the scriptures in the soil of our hearts, that it may yield fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of wisdom. That we may learn that we always know the right move if we slow down and contemplate and consider. Lead us into all truth, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. The Daily Audio Bible app is home base. These are really home base at this point. We are fully moved in. I mean, how long does it take when you move from one house to another to start calling it home? Because we're a month in. And my experience having moved around a lot, you know, it's a couple months before you start feeling settled, moving things around, checking things out, just the feeling of new, you know, like just starting for your nervous system to go like, okay, this is my safe home base. All the sounds and little rattles and things that I wasn't, like, I'm used to them now, that my nervous system has accepted, this is safe and this is my safe home. This is where it happens. So in the middle of doing that with the new app and the new website, the new shop, from soup to nuts, from 0 to 100, from beginning to end, everything about what's happening in the Daily Audio Bible technology is brand new. And so, it's been fun to watch, and it's been fun to watch everything work, but it's also been fun to see, like, okay, these are things, because we're a global community, there are just a gazillion phones, a gazillion internet providers. These are the things that, like, we've learned immediately. And so, definitely jump into the new app. There is a new app update. And so let's see. That came out about a week ago. I'll probably talk about that somewhere on Monday. It's an update that is to be expected. When you roll out a new platform, then that first, you know, few weeks is stabilizing everything. And also finding things that you couldn't have found out by turning it out into the wild and letting basically anybody in the world use it. So you get all kinds of new experiences that you couldn't have simulated. And so after a couple of weeks, there was a new update, 2.0.1, that fixed all of the kind of main pain points. My main pain point, and this did not happen to everybody, by the way. It did not even happen to everybody here on the team. But it did happen to me, and I know it happened to a lot of other people. I was kind of getting logged out every day. And that, is frustrating, right? I mean, that's like, come on, seriously. Because I have only 40,000 passwords to remember. And can we get this hooked up correctly so, you know, just scans my face and all of this. I was having that problem. Ironically, it was only like 20% of the people that were having that, but I was having that problem. And so that was a number one to be fixed. So when you update to 2.0.1, that problem gets solved with a lot of other things too. So, there's still like 10,000 people that have 2.0, not 2.0.1. So if you haven't updated yet, that's going to fix, the majority of presenting little buggy things get fixed right there. So make sure you update. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. Thank you humbly and deeply. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian. I love you, and I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, family. This is Kim in California calling. And first, I want to thank all of you that always pray for me. Really, really appreciate it. And I pray for all of you as well. I have two prayer requests today. One is for my health. I've had a few different health issues. The first one, I had some foot surgery, and everything went really, really well. So thank you for your prayers on my foot surgery. Shortly after I was recuperating from the foot surgery, I got a really, really bad cough that I caught from my husband. And that's been going on for 10 days now. And now I've got another issue, and it's a GI issue. So if you could please pray for my GI tract, my microbiome, and just to restore my health completely, really, really appreciate it. And my second prayer request is my husband and I have found a retirement home, and he wants to move, but he doesn't want to move. So I just pray that this is the right home for us, and if it is the right home for us, for everything to move forward and to happen for us as quickly and as soon as possible. Thank you so much, family. God bless you all. This is Kim in California.
Hey, good morning. This is Ruth from Colorado calling in about the mini baby that called in a prayer request for Joshua, I believe, in Illinois. Her daughter-in-law's father is in the ER with a brain bleed and needing surgery. Lord, oh, just fill him. Fill him with your healing power. The mighty, mighty creator that you are, nothing is impossible with you. Jesus, we know you came back to save us, to give us salvation, but also to heal us. Help him to walk in that healing. Give his doctors wisdom and knowledge, but give him a miraculous healing, that this bleeding stop and that he is fully restored. We ask all that in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus.
Hello, my name is Brianna, and I am from Wisconsin. I don't have a moniker right now, but Teresa from California, you called because your aunt was murdered. And I just want you to know that I'll be praying, as my mom on December 29th was also murdered in a brutal way. And it was just terrible. But I just want to tell you, like, how much of the blessings I've seen God do through this hurt. And one of them was finding this app. I found it the end of 2024, and I was able to listen through the whole time with 2025 up until my mom's death. And I had actually put it on her phone, and she had listened a few times before. My mom was a Christian, so there's no worries about that. But just knowing that this family has been here, that I've had somebody every day to read the Bible to me, has helped me so much. And then my family has also been such a great blessing. And you seem like such a great blessing, so I know you're going to help your family members as they are going through this tough time. Just remember to always lean on God. He will get you through, but everything will change. God bless you.
Shalom, shalom. Day of the Audio Bible. This is Dwayne from Wisconsin. All praise and glory to our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today is May 26th. Calling in for Jessica. She's a first-time caller, and she's calling in to let us know that her aunt was murdered. Lord, we ask that you be in this situation. We ask that you be with the family. We ask that they lean into you, Lord, for peace and guidance through this time. She left them children, I believe a couple of daughters behind. Lord, we ask that you be with them, and that they are taken care of and provided for, and help them as they progress through this valley, Lord. We want to lift that up to you. Also calling in for Bonnie. She wanted us to pray for her daughter who had back surgery. I assume that happened already. And we pray everything is going well and that the outcome will be great, and the Lord will be with her as she recovers from this and gets some therapy, and everything will be good. Deborah called in, would like us to pray for son Corey. He's in the hospital, and I believe you said he had PTSD. Lord, we pray that you be with Corey. Just guide him through this time. Give him people to help him through this. But Lord, we ask that you would touch his heart and guide him. Daniel called in, would like us to pray for his nephew, Justin. He is having bleeding, and he refuses to go to the hospital. Lord, we ask that you please place your hand upon Justin. Lord, if it is thy will, that you would heal him, that his mind would be opened to go to those who would care for him. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen, and God bless.
Hey, Dabbers. This is Mom of 12 in Saskatchewan, Canada. My prayer request today is for you guys to just stand with me as I pray for my husband of 38 years. He's been diagnosed with stage 4 colorectal cancer. We have 12 kids, 3 through birth and 9 adopted with special needs. And we love him dearly and we need him. The doctors have told us that we have 2.5 to 5 years and it's incurable. But I believe we serve a God of miracles and we need a miracle. I ask for healing for my husband, Don. I ask for provision for our family. And Lord, watch over our 12 kids as they process this news and give them a hope and a peace that passes all understanding, and that God has the plan. This is my first year doing the Daily Audio Bible. I started back in January and we got the diagnosis in March. And I am so thankful that we found you guys. And the kids are listening. And my husband listens. And we're just so thankful we found your community. We have a good church that we attend. And they're praying too. But I just want to get you guys on board to hold us up in prayer as we walk this really difficult and challenging season. Thanks, Dabbers.
What's up, fam? Hey, this is Cowboy. I just wanted to reach out to, I believe he said his name was Richie. I heard you on the May 24th reading, brother. And I just want to read a passage from you from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the love chapter. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It gives no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Brother, I know for me, I was Lord of my own life, and my life did not look like this. And it was very hard because I did what I thought was right. I kept secrets thinking I was going to take them to my grave. But we can't do that. We have to bring everything out in the open. We have to get it out and we have to let God give it to God and let him deal with it. Jeremiah 17 says the heart is sick beyond repair. Who can understand it? But in Ezekiel 36:26, it says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Brother, you got to turn this over to God. And if you are not getting a good support system, brother, you are more than welcome to reach out to me. My name is Johnny Meadows, and I am on Facebook. Brother, please feel free to reach out to me, and please know that you're not on this island alone. There's so many of us that has been there and gone through that, and we have navigated those waters. And we have sought the Lord in his way and not ours. Love you, brother. Hope things get better for you.